We're starting. Okay, now it says it's live.
Are you affected by the floods?
No, man. Like, for us
we're starting. Okay, now it says it's live.
Cool.
No. So I wanted to watch the playback to make sure everything was looking good and stuff like that to start with.
How can it look good when you're there?
I mean, that's why it looks good. Now I've got two of me on the screen. It's awesome. It's the best. But anyway, just apologize for that. Apologize for all the technical difficulties. Apologies for Travis being here. This is Two Trolls and a Brew, episode 142.
Probably.
Obviously. How do you want to pronounce that?
Obviously.
Well, that's what I thought, but I thought you'd have to put extra emphasis on the ob.
Nope.
The way you spell. Okay, just obviously. Underrated.
Yep.
Subtitle, Another Show Not Aired. Did I miss another show?
I don't know.
Are you just assuming that we're going to skip this one?
Probably.
Especially
since we're talking about something important on the show. Probably not going to get aired.
Probably not. That seems fair.
Yeah.
So, this week, your troll card is up next list, The Hated Twisted. Mine is going to be the new Saheeli. I am flabbergasted with the new Saheeli. She's great.
Oh, she's... Yeah. No, I completely agree. I feel like the uncommon planeswalkers, for the most part,
really, really good.
Are really good. Like, they completely outdid themselves with their static abilities.
Right. Well, I think that Remington summed it up kind of oddly, but I think really well. He's like, these are really amazing, really amazing enchantments that just die to bad abilities.
Yep.
I'm like, but Remy, look at this. Look at the Saheeli. He's like, what did I just say?
He's not wrong.
He's not wrong. He summed it up really well. So Amnixilus the Hate Twisted.
Yeah.
Do I need to actually look this card up and put it on the screen like a grown-up person?
If you want to.
If I want to. Alright, I'll do it then.
Alright.
Meanwhile, you tell me what it is that you like about this guy.
So I'm playing him in Legacy.
Of course, because that's the only format you play anymore.
Yeah, because that's the only time I really have time off. So I'm playing him in Legacy, the format known for drawing cards for no reason. Brainstorm. And he has been insanely good for me. Because, like his static ability says, when an opponent draws a card, Obnixilus deals one damage to that player. That's a neat screen.
There yeah, you just go. Getting confused. Right now it's on you. If you're talking, it looks at you.
Oh,
when I can set it.
Oh, all right. Well, whatever.
I'm like a grown-up producer over here.
So, yeah, anyways, when they draw a card, he does one to them. And then I can neg two and destroy target creature, and its controller draws two cards. So, basically, you know, just him on... with a static ability, amazing. Because you have cards like Brainstorm, and there's Preordain, Ponder, Faithless Looting, and then there's Jace the Mind Sculptor, which if you use the zero on Jace the Mind Sculptor, it's dealing three to them. But the card that it like hurts the most is Sylvan Library.
Because that's kind of his drawing, isn't it?
Yes. So before you even decide whether or not to keep the cards, you're taking three damage.
And then you pay extra to...
And then you pay an extra four for each card. So if you really want those cards, you can be looking at 11 damage before your main phase. So I was playing against a player who was playing Leovold, the Sultai person. Okay. From you know what he does.
I think so.
So anyways, he has this ability where whenever he becomes the target of a spell or ability or something, draw a card. So My opponent was down to like four life or something. So I did the neg two on Obnixilus. They drew a card for me targeting his creature, and then they took three for them drawing, and then on their draw step, they lost the game. So I was playing an Enchantress deck against an Enchantress deck, which you know that one, right?
Right, of course. Obviously, where you draw a card every time you play an enchantment.
Yep. And do you see where that one's going?
They drew a lot of cards. They took a lot of damage.
Oh, yeah. They dug so deep, and it took them so long to find their I don't take damage, but I have to sacrifice something every turn or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's an intense combo, to be true.
But he's just doing so much work in my particular build of Nick Fit.
I mean, the problem is it costs five, right?
Like, that's problem gotta is be
expensive in Legacy.
No, because I'm playing an attrition deck. So I'm playing a black-white walkers. And I can... Oh, good, dogs. So basically, I control their hand with, you know, basically the eight rack starting. Just a bunch of hand disruption, discard with him to Torak, Cabal Therapy, Thought Seize. And then early game threats, I have Innocent Blood, Fatal Push, and I use Path to Exile because I don't want them gaining life. But then I'm playing with Arena Rectors, and basically once I get the Arena Rectors, if they don't exile it, then the game's basically over because I just kill her myself. And then I can go get any walker that I want and put it into play for free. And
I suppose it doesn't sound quite so bad.
Yeah, with the walkers that I have in the deck, it's a very attrition-y game. Because I have two of each non-uncommon Kaya. So I have two of the Usurpers.
Right.
And two of the Ghost Assassins.
Okay, so you're not playing with the new six mana one?
I am in the sideboard.
Okay.
And the reason she's in the sideboard is because we have a Turbo Depths player. And her ability, like, makes it so they lose. Or no, her ability is exile the creature. And Turbo Depths is indestructible.
Right.
But also, I bring her in against people who are jerks and play the... What's that three-drop merfolk that gives... it enters and you choose a player, and it has protection from that player and all spells they have.
Oh,
True Name Nemesis. Thanks for the help. Nemesis.
I was getting there. I was like, maybe something, but that's not the first word.
Yeah. We got there like the exact same time.
No, I think you got there a second before me.
All right. But
Or can it make a noise?
But yeah, I bring her in for those two decks.
It's not the worst.
Yeah.
So let's take a quick second and talk about the gorgeousness that is Shaheely for 1 second. Right. Oh, obviously I love her for my favorite format right now, Frontier, because she's gonna go in as a cheaper finisher for my Frontier Storm, basically. Mm-hmm. So I'll put in some number of her to go in with the Aether Flux Reservoir. And I'm actually really tempted to just make a few have it sleeved up where I can just turn around and play it in Modern.
Yeah.
You know, so be really good. The all the non-creature spells that become really good when they're like zero mana, draw a card. make a 1-1.
Mm-hmm.
They become also really good when they say make another 1-1 when you play the monk. But the monk is a little bit harder to like make work, I think. And then obviously the ability to just like turn another artifact into something useful.
Yeah.
Is pretty great. So I don't know. I'm going to play this thing, but I think she's going to be really okay. I don't know about great, but she's going to be okay in standard in all of the like blue, red, shocky, burning type things.
I think she, and this is just because I saw it played against me a little, couple days ago, but the person was doing a blue, white control deck with Saheeli and Divine Visitation.
Oh, that's not bad. Turns them into angels every time you play a card.
Yep. And it's a control deck, so it's like, it's just, it was the grindiest game.
That sounds all right. I don't know, the idea of just being able to play, was it Goblin Electromancer that lowers mm-hmm. the cost of your spells? All these burn spells that can keep the board clear and or go to the face. And then when you need to, because you, for whatever random reason, like you need to refill on cards or something, you just minus Saheeli to turn one of your servos into another Goblin Electromancer. And then all of a sudden your spells cost an extra one less, so two less or three less if you have another one or whatever. Or you're going to go crazy and start making bird tokens too, you know? So you minus to make another of the 1/5s that make bird tokens, go to town. I just feel like there's a lot going on there. But yeah, I can see. I've been looking for a good excuse to play more Divine Visitation. That's a fun one.
Yeah.
And then the other thing we never did, because we haven't had a chance to do a show or anything since War started coming out really, is we haven't really talked about like our favorite things. So I happen to have two blue cards here that I thought maybe we'd talk about for a quick second. One that I got at the pre-release, and I was not excited when I got it, but then I became very happy as I started playing. And I do not know how to say Fizzlip the Lost.
Flibblethup.
Whatever. I'm just going to call him the blue legendary Elvish Mystic because that makes a lot more sense to me, right?
Sure.
So I don't have a good way to let you play it enter off the top of your library, but I imagine there's a lot of decks in places where that's going to be quite strong. Obviously, the bolus thing works, right? That's probably what it's intended.
The Citadel.
Citadel Bolas.
Yeah.
Letting you play it off the top. But can't you also do that? Can't you also draw off the top with the, or play off the top with Omniscious or whatever it's called? Or does that just have to be from your hand?
From your hand.
Okay. I know there's something. I know that there's two cards that go together to let you just like play every card off the top of your library, but I can't remember what the other card is. And then the card that I've been the most excited about in other formats, like the modern format in particular, or to, again, a lesser degree, my beloved Frontier, is Narset, Parter of Veils.
You're the only person that likes Frontier.
Well, see, I would agree with you, but then finally this last Frontier tournament, it started clicking for people a little bit more. And now I think I've probably got the core, like, six people excited enough about Frontier. They're not going to be like,
hopefully, if someone else shows up.
Yeah, I think we got enough people excited that we won't have to worry about that. But I have to say, I did not become particularly excited because of Narset until I saw Conley Wood's new design. Have you caught any of this by chance?
Nope.
So he's using Narset, and he's using, is it Notion Thief that draws yep. cards from your opponents? And he's using all of the draw sevens now. So he's using, like, Day's Undoing. He's using, what's the 4-mana/6-mana one? Like, Condemn Command or something? You put the spell in the stack, like, second from the top, and then you could, for, like, 6 mana.
Oh, okay.
You do a time spiral.
Yeah.
So he's playing those and, like, the pitch spells and stuff like that, and it looks really fun. And, I don't know, I've been looking for a way to play Day's Undoing for a long time, and I think pairing it with Narset is just, like, great, right? Everybody discards their hand. Yeah, you end your turn, but you discard your hand, you draw 7, they discard their hand, and they say go. Like, seems really good. And for 6 mana, that's not a combo that's impossible to pull off.
Right.
So
it's a 2-card combo. It's good.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how really 2-cardy it is.
Well, name the cards.
That's fair. You could use a couple of cards to do it. But what I mean is, like, it doesn't win you the game. It puts you so far ahead you should win the game, but it doesn't straight up say you win.
You better win the game.
Yeah, I would hope so. But yeah, I don't know. A lot of really good stuff. A lot of really good stuff coming out of War, and I love it. All right, what's next? Magic Funk. It's gone. Is that supposed to be a question?
That Magic Funk was up there from the last show notes. And so, yeah, it's a question because it was put up there by you. Is it gone?
It's not gone. I'm still in a little bit of a Magic Funk. I think War's been a lot of fun, but I haven't bought a lot of cards because the availability hasn't been there yet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how it is up there in Manhattan, but, like, we're just selling out so fast, I barely get a chance to do anything.
I don't know, because I don't really focus on Standard, so everything that I buy is just singles, and so far I've only bought 5 cards.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Uncommon Planeswalkers?
2 uncommon planeswalkers, 2 Oath of Kaia's, and Sorin.
Yeah, those seem good. I don't know. Like I said, because we've been running out of products, like, we didn't do a draft on the following Saturday, like, game draft day or whatever they call it, because we didn't have the product to support it.
Yeah.
We had to cancel our sealed box because we didn't have the product to support it. And we started the sealed box to help move the sealed product.
Mm-hmm.
Just completely, I mean, they just buying us out. Like, I hate to say that this is a first world problem, but we could deal with a few extra boxes, Wizards. And the thing that's killing us is our distributor has told us that Wizards is sitting on the product and keeping it back to create this artificial demand.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's really hurting, I think, a lot of people, including my shop, because we would sell it. We would have drafts. People are excited to draft this. The people are excited to play sealed. And every box of product that we have to save is a box of product we can't turn around, sell, or use.
Yeah.
And it's not the same Magic Funk. It's not the Magic Funk of, like, I'm just not excited to brew. But it does add to my Magic Funk right now. And, for example, Talab, who's in the chat right now, sent us this deck list that we're going to talk about a little bit later, and has also been excited about Arena, playing both. Looks like he might be playing right now, even, if I'm looking at the Discord. I know you're playing right now, except for you stopped for the show.
Right.
And I look over at the Twitch channels, and it's filled with people playing Magic, and I just look at it and I go, yeah, I don't want to. And then I get, like, 5 or 6 people in my chat. They're like, why don't you ever play Magic anymore? Why don't you stream Arena anymore? I'm just like, I don't know. Because when I play on Arena, it makes me want to get those cards in paper, and it makes me want to play in paper. Because that is the place I like to play Magic, is with my friends on Friday or Saturday or whatever, hanging out, talking smack. And I enjoy playing on Arena. It's nice to just pound through a bunch of games sometimes, but that's what I want to do. And I can't do it because card availability is not there.
Yeah.
Wizards, get your S together.
Okay. After the whole eBay fiasco, you think they really got it together?
I don't think they know what together means, but we could segue right into the eBay fiasco. A lot of our friends got hit hard by that, you know? Sean, who's been on the show, got hit. I mean, I don't know how hard they've been hit, but we're hit by it.
Mm-hmm.
Todd was buying some product to have, and then he got boned. And now he's like, look what they're turning around doing online, because he still wants to get one for the shop to have one there.
Yeah.
They're like, now to buy it, it's over $1,000.
Well, not only that, but they're trying to compensate it by giving people uncut foil, rare, and mythic sheets.
Right.
It's like, that's not what they paid for or wanted.
It's not, but I do feel like it's at least coming close to a proper apology. What irritates me is this was what, last week that they did this?
It was, yeah.
Right? As far as I know, people have still not been refunded their money yet.
Mm-hmm.
That's what irritates me, is that especially people like Todd at the shop, or even somebody like Sean that's buying it for their own personal collection as opposed to having one on hand.
Yeah.
You know, you're tying up, what was it, like $550?
Yep.
You took $550 of somebody's money, said you're going to return it, and have not done so yet. Like,
yeah,
that's insane. And I would understand if it was something like they wrote a check and mailed it in or something weird like that. But this was something that was done on eBay pretty much instantly.
Yep.
And people who paid with PayPal, that credit should be almost instantaneous.
Yeah.
Like, they should just be able to go through there, hit their database, go, here's the list of all the people that we're not going to give the product to, fix it. Well, and who knows how to fix all this stuff? eBay's gone through it 1,000 times.
Yeah. Well, and like, the thing is, Todd, he was number 5,000 in line.
Correct.
And, I mean, 5,000 odd, whatever, out of like 12,000. Why is he not getting his product if he was the 5,000th person?
Correct. Yeah. And apparently someone was telling me that they admitted that they sold more than 10,000. So they basically sold double almost of what they had planned to.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, that was the people that tried to order. They took their money, but they're not going to get their product delivered.
Yeah.
Like, that, it's just an aggravating situation altogether. They never should have done this. If they wanted to do it, they could have did Masterworks in the packs. If they didn't want to do Masterworks in the packs, they could done 2 per shop or something. Like, there's a better way to have done this. I know that they're trying to increase their personal margins by selling some product direct to the customers, but this is not the way to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole thing is weird. I know there's a lawsuit that started up a couple of days ago. I'm pretty sure that's just going to fall apart. Like, I don't think there's a real case there, but it might be enough to draw some attention to problems like this. Todd was telling me that another company is basically doing the exact same thing, but they did it with their new line of massage chairs. Todd's wife wanted to get one for personal use at the house or whatever.
Yep.
And they released like 1,000 of each color of chair, and they did it for $1,000 a piece. These things normally sell for like $10,000 a piece or something stupid. And they did the same thing, short sell on eBay. The difference is that these are a bigger money item. You know, people don't go and buy like 10,000 massage chairs at a time or whatever. So, I don't know, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And then, of course, there are people on eBay selling their confirmation emails. It's like, look, see? I'm going to get it. Here's my confirmation email. Look at me. I'm selling this. Current bid $1. It's like, yeah. What? Why are you printing off a copy of a confirmation email to sell somebody? That's ridiculous. Anyway. Next big point is Magic Fest KC. Still excited? Still not excited?
Nah, I don't think I'm going.
You know, you went like 6 hours one way previously, and now you're like an hour and a half away, and you're not going to go?
Yeah, I got other stuff I want to do.
Okay.
Yeah.
That seems odd, but okay. Who's going to be the two troll and a brew person representing the podcast there?
Nathan.
Oh, okay. We'll have to get him a t-shirt then. We'll get him a t-shirt that says, I'm not Travis or Samus, but...
No, just that.
Well, I was going to say, take a picture with me anyway.
That would be the best. But don't even, like, have the reason why people are taking pictures. Because you know people are going to be like, all right.
like on the back, hashtag two trolls and a brew or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. I'm tempted to go and do side events. I don't want to do a main event right now. I don't have the passion to brew and build and practice anything like that. But if I took off, went to Kansas City.
Yeah.
Like watched the movie or something, had a nice dinner and then caught a side event, that would be okay.
And like, so my thing is like, if I do end up going, I'm just going to be playing Legacy.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, sure, Standard, it's new and it's fresh right now, but... And?
Can't. Okay. It's fine. I don't know, I like the idea of going to big tournaments, except for the traveling.
Yeah.
And it's just a matter of not wanting to be away from home that long. I don't know, I realize I'm old man, but I'm hoping now as we start making forward momentum on getting the bus together and doing stuff, hopefully I'll be able to do more of these kind of tournaments and go places, but have the bus like nearby so I can always just go home, sleep in my own bed, you know, see how my wife spent the day wandering around whatever city we happen to be in, whatever. Let's see. Our next bullet point is Magic Pros gone bad. It's like they caught a fever.
Well, I don't think it's that they caught a fever. I think it's just that everyone is now suspicious of anyone that's a pro because of how many have been getting caught recently. And
I feel like that's justifiable. You should be paranoid of the person you're playing against when there's stakes on the line.
Well, yeah, but also it's like, you know, so many have been caught that it just makes me wonder how many have already gotten away with it.
Oh, I'm sure there's been a lot of people that have gotten away with it
over
the years. I'm not even talking just cheating. I'm talking about all the various things that have kind of come out. Turtenwald, Watanabe. I think it's Watanabe. Hope I say his name right.
Yuya.
Because I know Yuya is still defending his innocence.
Right.
And I've seen a lot of people out there with some interesting counter articles about it. And I've also seen some interesting theories about, you know, what's going on, why something, like, what's the motivation for somebody else to do, cheat not only on, like, their behalf, but against somebody.
Mm-hmm.
How this may have to change the deck check process to have multiple people check each deck at the same time.
What's the motivation? I don't know. Money? Why else do you go to a big tournament?
Prestige. I don't know. Like I said, if they decide that he has been cheated in this case, or somebody has cheated, I feel like they should, they really need to work on their investigation stuff and really streamline that process, because that happened, what, a month ago almost now? I mean, not quite. But
no, it was like,
it's more than 2 weeks, right?
It was like right before their pre-release. Or maybe it was on the pre-release.
That sounds right to me. Like on the pre-release. So that was basically 2 weeks ago. And we still haven't seen an official thing. We haven't seen an official thing about Turtenwald. I feel like they get reported, they get kicked out. People get excited and speculative, and then we never get a clear answer.
Yeah.
At least for the pros that people like. Right? But if it's somebody out there that is not as well liked, not even a professional player, but somebody who, say, stirs up some controversy or whatever, and then all of a sudden the wrath is fast, brutal, and in the public.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's somebody who is perceived to be more popular or whatever, they get the respect of not having their dirty laundry aired in front of millions of Magic players.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's right. I think if you're going to shame people that you don't like, you need to shame the people you do like as well. You need to shine a light on being bad, regardless of your personal feelings for these people.
Right.
Okay, well, I think the last real thing that we have here to talk about is this deck from Talab here. Unless you have something you want to talk about first, Travis.
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. I mean, I open it to you to do what you like. Oh, wait, no, this is that mono white Karn thing that I was talking about.
That was so confusing. Because you sent me a link of MTG Goldfish of the commander deck we're going to talk about. And you're like, yeah, this mono white deck looks awesome. I'm like, what are you on right now? You didn't send me that. You sent me something else. You're like, nope, here's the list. What?
I never said here's the list for that.
Well, you know, whatever.
All right. I'm trying to pull the link up now, actually. Things got moved. All right, here we go. Oh, good. And the dogs are going to bark again. Sweet.
Hooray.
Huzzah. All right, here is the list. Now, I'm looking at the list at the same time as you, the viewers, could potentially be looking at it. Travis got up to look at it a little bit earlier.
Or did I?
Or you could have. How's that?
There you go. That's better.
Potentially could have. Let's see. Fractured Reality, Amnutus. I assume that's the commander.
Amanatu.
Amanatu?
Amanatu.
Sounds like something you chant in the Illuminati before you start getting your money. Amunatu. Amunatu.
No, you remember the mummy?
I do remember the mummy.
Ow. I just kicked the wall.
All right, so apparently this card is not going to come up in the goldfish and the mouse over. Do you happen to know what the fate?
Oh yeah,
the fate shifter does here.
Yeah, I killed people with her.
All right, well tell us what she does. Why I find it.
So 3 mana, you get a 3 loyalty, +1 draw a card, then put a card from your hand on top of your library. So you know, filter without the discard. -1. You exile another permanent you own, then return it to the battlefield under your control. I killed people by minusing Nicobolas, the god pharaoh, exiling him, bringing him back in, and then minusing him again. It dealt like 14 damage. And then her last ability, I don't know, I never used it because it wasn't relevant in Legacy.
Okay, so the last power says, choose left or right. Each player gains control of non-land permanents the other than Aminatu, the fate shifter controlled by the next player in the chosen direction. So does everyone just basically just get up and move a seat?
Yeah. That would be way easier than...
That seems crazy. Oh, man. Did he just, like, pick up decks and move it? Oh, man. All right. I don't know. Let's take a look at this. I'm not the commander player you are, so hopefully we can see some of the sweetness in here.
I'm not even the commander player I am.
That's fair. So we have some Soul Diviners.
Which?
Let you draw some cards.
Yeah.
Especially
if your walker's already going low, it doesn't matter.
Well, I have to assume that there's something that puts walkers on things, right?
Hmm. I haven't looked.
Okay. Academy Reactor.
Academy Rector.
Find an enchantment. Oh, did I say Reactor?
Yeah.
Oh, my bad. My brain is putting other things in.
Mm-hmm.
Archaeomancer. Fellow War Guardian, one of the great cats of Arte.
Oh, yeah.
One of the few cats I like.
One of the best kitties.
Deep Glow Skate.
Oh, that's neat.
Oh, that is neat. I didn't even know this was a thing.
So when it enters, double the number of each kind of counter on any number of target permanents. Yeah. Oh, so your planeswalker is going down to one. Or your planeswalker's at two, now it's at four. That's sick.
Yeah. And it's something that blinks. Or gets all sorts of perks. That's a neat card. Massacre Girl, which is the new hotness.
Oh, she is so good.
Mole Drifter, which is the old hotness. Vela, the night clad.
Yep.
A lot of words.
Not really.
Intimidate.
She gives all of your things intimidate, and whenever another creature leaves, each opponent loses one.
It's still a lot of words, but I guess not confusing.
That's like two sentences.
The untouchable. What?
Don't question it. Just realize that it's there.
What? This seems bad. Okay.
Shh.
Ashiok Dream Render is great. This card has been surprisingly good in Standard and Draft, actually.
Oh, that card is so busted.
I drafted the red-white spells deck last week. Splashed Nicol Bolas because I got it in pack three, and I was like, well... I'm not gonna win the tournament if I splash this, but I'll win some matches and it'll feel good. But yeah, the Ashiok just like randomly down ticking to exile my graveyard was like super relevant.
Yeah.
And of course, obviously in limited, if you can mill 25 cards, like that basically kills somebody.
Yep.
Anarset, which we already talked about how great she is, the 3-mana Teferi, which is pretty solid. All the Teferis have been. 4-mana Dovenbond. Feels questionable to me. I guess it's
stabilizing.
Just a draw card.
Right? Yeah.
And because you're blinking all the things and giving it extra tokens, maybe you get to ult. And then you have they can't untap more than two things.
Yeah.
That's all right. You bring it down, you plus it, goes to four. No one wants to kill it because of the shitty Dovenbond. And then you drop this Deep Glow Skate, and then bam. You got it. I ult him on the next turn. Ghost Assassin Kaya.
I love her.
Narset Transcendent. I like this card. This is a card that didn't see a lot of play when it was printed, but I think is really good.
I milled someone with this. When it was in standard.
That seems like a you thing.
Because...
Another really good alt, though.
Well, yeah, that's fine. But no, so real quick, I used her -2? Yeah, to copy, or to give a spell rebound.
Mm-hmm.
and I played Startle Awake. Mill 13, rebound. Mill 13. Oh, it's in my graveyard. Use its ability. Put him into play. Mill 13.
That seems crazy.
I was so pissed. It was hilarious.
Again, though, a really excellent, if you can get a quick ult. You can't play non-creature spells in Commander. How hard is that?
Fairly incredibly difficult.
I'm going to say, I feel like in Commander, that basically means you lose, right?
Yeah, there's probably like...
You really play in Commander, unless you're just like the creature guy.
Right.
Gideon Jorah. She's pretty solid. He's a reasonable planeswalker, I think.
Yeah.
OG Liliana.
Mm-hmm.
Another, I think, sweet mill... Or a sweet, if you can double the number of counters, kind of effect is good. Again, we usually see this kind of effect with a doubling season.
Yeah.
But this Deep Glow's Gate is pretty sweet.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say having the Esper build is pretty solid.
Yeah. Let's see. Then you got
OG Ob.
Godfather. This was my card in Standard for a long time. Remember during this block, I was playing the Mardu Control?
Yep.
This was like my main five mana spell, was play this thing, kill a thing if I needed to, but then draw a card basically for free. Was this the first printing of Tameo? I think so, right?
Yes.
So, OG Tameo. Again, an excellent... opportunity to play her, plus her, keep her alive, play the thing, alt. Teferi, obviously, same thing. Vencer Planeswalker, I think, is a good one. Because his, is it plus? I think his plus is the blink effect.
Yep.
And that's real good. Yeah, it's all real good.
So just think, if the skate's already in play, then you play that guy, and you plus him up to 5, Skate comes back at your instep, boom, he's at 10.
Correct. Those are all factual statements.
I know. That's because I said them.
There's the 6-mana uncommon Kaya.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good. See, 6-mana Sworn, which is also a card that I played with the Ob Father. They're kind of like peanut butter and jelly.
I still use him in Legacy.
Yeah, he's still pretty good. The new Ugin. I was a little soft on the new Ugin, but I think I'm coming around.
So insane.
I think I'm coming around. The fact that it basically makes the damned if you do, damned if you don't scenario, where it's like, I'm going to plus this, and I'm going to make a 2-2.
Mm-hmm.
I might block with it because it's great, and I want to draw that card. Or I might save it and attack you because I don't care. And if you happen to kill it while you're blocking, whatever, I'll just draw this bad card.
Yep.
It's very good. Although it does also create the problem where you really need like a bunch of spirit tokens labeled 1 through 6 or something.
Yeah. But luckily, there's these things that people have called dice.
Yeah, I don't like putting dice on my... on creatures unless they're actually +1/+1 counters or -1, you know, some like the opposite counters. I don't mind using them above the card as a label, but anyway. And then you have one of the Will Kindreth, one of the twin planeswalker guys, right? From Battle Bond, I think is what it was called.
Yes.
I have no idea. There's so many words printed on that card and it's this. You can't see me.
Here, look. +2 until your next turn, up to 2 creatures. Each have power and toughness 0/3 and lose all abilities. -2. Target player draws 2. Until your next turn, instant sorceries and planeswalker spells that player cast cost 2 less to cast. -8. Target player gets an emblem with... Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery, copy it. You may choose new targets. six mana 4/4 or six mana 4 loyalty.
Not the worst.
Yeah, so he gives protection. He draws a card and makes your next turn, or I guess this turn, makes everything cost two less. And then his ult is a fork on a stick.
That's not bad. I'll take that. Oh, no. Talab is saying in chat he feels like he should be able to call in and explain his deck choices. That's not how it works. We're here to tear your deck apart.
I'm here to agree with most of it.
There you go. If he's agreeing, then you're on the right track. All right, so you got all your normal copy, draw card stuff. So Brainstorm, Ponders, Telling Times. Although Telling Times seems a little odd to me.
No.
Well, you have the, what is it, Impulse?
Yeah.
Or but, you have the Go Find, what, three different copies? Maybe that's Impulse.
So, the reason I like Telling Time is it's not a draw. So, if somebody has something that negates draws or damage or hurts you for drawing, this gets around it. Plus, you get to throw away a card that's bad. Put a card for your next draw step. Like, you're just preparing for the next turn. Plus, you get this one all at the end of someone else's turn.
Yeah, I really like Impulse when it's like, go get some, put one in your hand. Like, that's my preferred way to get around the draw thing. Just like that sorcery one now that is like, look at five, put two instants or sorceries in your hand.
Yeah, but this is 3 mana instant speed do anything.
That's 2 mana instant speed do anything, as opposed to 3 mana go get two things and put them in your hand.
Nah, I'd rather prepare for the next turn. Like, okay, so what if you Telling Time, and you know this is late game, right? You Telling Time and you get Obnixilus, Terminus, and Entreat the Angels. What are you going to do?
I suppose that's fair. Like, setting up the top of your deck is relevant. Yeah, I don't know. I suppose it's relevant. Again, there are a lot of times I'd rather just put the cards in my hand, though, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. Isn't there also a Planeswalker that, like, puts stuff from the... Or something that, like, puts a card on the top of your deck? Like an artifact?
I mean, there's definitely a Planeswalker... There's definitely a Planeswalker in this deck that lets you draw a card and put a card back on top.
Okay. This is where we start to get out of my scope, because I...
She happens to be the commander.
Oh! Which I've never played with. I've only seen it. All right. I guess that makes a little bit more sense.
Yeah.
Miracle cards.
Yeah.
All right. There's a theme. It's just a theme card, Travis. Very well. I'll go with it. Then you have Anguished Unmaking, which is a fine card. Again, a staple from back here in this day.
Mm-hmm.
But also not as good as Vindicate, except as Flash. I don't know. Entreat the Angels, which is great. Mortify, which is fine. Teferi's Protection, which is fine.
No, it's Toxic way more than fine.
Talk to Deluge is really good. You think Teferi's Perfection is better than fine?
Oh, yeah. Read it, man.
I know what it does. I just think it's fine. Like, how often does this matter? Usually if they're doing this kind of stuff, I feel like they're wrathing you, or they're not, like, doing a bunch of damage to your guys or something.
Yeah, but, like, they could be going infinite, and you're just like, hold on, I'm out for the turn. So they have to go infinite, kill the other two players, and then they're spent. They pass their turn, you phase back in, and you're just like, by the way, now you're dead.
All right.
I
don't have any problem saying that you're right. I just, because you have way more experience in Commander Land than I do, for sure. Talking deluge again. This is the kind of thing that I'm talking about that, like, Teferi's protection doesn't stop.
Right.
Just be gone.
But you don't use the protection on your turn.
Not usually, no. But I'm talking about to protect against their toxic deluges and their damnations or their supreme verdicts.
It totally protects against it. It 100% protects against it. There's a sentence on there that says
they also gain phasing.
All permanents you control phase out. So it completely gets around their damnations, their verdicts, their terminus, their whatever you want to call.
Very well. I will give it fine plus plus then.
Hey, you just don't want to admit that you're so wrong.
Stupid commander cards. Utter End, another great Anguish in Making or whatever. I can't think of what it's called now. Fractured Identity. This card is, I think, pretty good, actually.
Yep.
Everybody gets a thing. Your thing goes bye-bye. Time Wipe, I think, is probably one of the stronger of the new cards for Commander that came out of War. This Bounce My Thing. Or bounce your, like, somebody who successfully negotiated a deal with me.
Yeah.
Thing. Like, I feel like it gives you a lot of really interesting opportunities to do stuff. Plus Wrath, which is great. You already talked about Terminus. Second Son, which is great. Temporal Mastery, which is great. I don't know what this card does. Amuatu's Augury. I assume it goes and gets this thing. Some sort of interaction with it.
Exile the top 8. You may put a land onto play. Until end of turn for each non-land card type, you may cast a card of that type from among the exiled cards without paying its mana cost.
Wow, that's a lot of words for get a thing and play it for free.
It's more than a thing. So you exile the top 8. You can put a land into play, and then every other spell that's different you can cast for free.
Oh, it's not just one. Okay, I heard get a thing and play it for free.
Yeah, you put a land into play.
A land into play and then everything else. Okay, that's That's okay.
Or no, it's each non-land card type, you may cast a card of that type.
So it can get up to like 6 things then, or 7 or 8 things.
Yeah, you can get an artifact, enchantment, planeswalker, instant sorcery, creature.
It's still not bad.
8 mana for 7 possibilities.
Yeah, still not bad. Let's see. Then we get Classic Soul Ring, Signet.
Wait, you missed the important part. I'll
get to that in a second. Calm your sweet man titties.
Okay.
Commander Sphere, Chain Veil, which obviously if you're going to play 1,000 Planeswalkers, you want a Chain Veil.
Right.
Bolas's Citadel. I just think this is a card that people are dreaming to be able to play. I feel like this thing's going to hurt you a lot. But you have 40 life to start with, so you're probably okay.
Oh, yeah.
You're probably okay. And then Travis's, like, favorite card in existence, Alter the Brood.
Oh, that makes me so happy. I don't even care if it's a bad card. I love it.
What are you thinking this? Is this good in this deck?
With all of the bounces, with all of the lands, yeah. I mean, it's not gonna like insta win, but it can definitely. Well, it might be able to insta win if you're able to ultimate Obnixilus or Sorin, the Grim Nemesis.
Yeah, I just feel like any time that you get an opportunity to grab a couple of things with Alter the Brood and then be able to get rid of them all with Ashiok, it's really strong.
Yeah.
Because you're playing what somebody has built a theme around these 100 cards. So any one of those that you can get rid of might be the key piece of stopping a combo or anything.
Like especially if they set up the top of their deck.
Correct, obviously.
Yeah.
Then you get like a Rest in Peace, which seems weird to put this kind of hoser in until you realize, again, that you're playing like Alter the Brood and some other these melee type cards.
Yeah.
Although not as many. Oath of Jace, obviously great when you're bouncing things around. Reality Acid is one of my favorite cards, especially in a situation where you have like Mole Drifters and Fencers. Although I'm not sure if it's that powerful in Commander. You can't tutor it up, right? With the
You can tutor it up with the Rector. Right. But also, you can flicker this.
Right.
So, yeah.
That's what I said with things like Vincer and Guardian. So occasionally you're going to get twice the value out of it.
Yeah, but it's still a solid removal spell for blue.
And it's all right.
And it's land destruction.
Well, see, and like I play this in, or I have a deck that I play this in Modern. But I run like Boomerang. Like, I play boomerangs and
stuff
like
that. Land destruction.
Well, yes. And that's why you use boomerangs. So you put it back in your hand right away. And then their thing is died immediately.
That seems like a 2-for-1.
Can be. All right. Oath of Teferi, which obviously works with all these planeswalkers. Omniscience.
Omniscience.
There you go. Omniscience. All of Shulawaka Daka.
I'm gonna cast everything for free.
Yeah. I happen to know that the Bolas of Citadel and the Omniscience is like Tlab's like baby girl here.
But it doesn't have
a bunch of lands. Doesn't what?
Oh, I guess together you cast cards for free in your hand, then you cast cards for free off the top of your deck.
Right. Like, those two things, they kind of go together, because there's a lot of ways that you're going to draw cards or find cards or whatever over here.
Yeah.
Or over here, or with your Planeswalker. And then if you can't cast it, you know, like, say you pick up two lands or whatever, you can put a land back in your hand, put another one on top of your deck, and then you can just play it, right?
Yeah.
Assuming that you have land plays. So...
All right.
What do you think?
Overall, I agree with, I believe, 97% of the deck.
Oh, man. Keep going. There's a lot of comments here that Talab has thrown in here, so I got to look at it.
Okay. So the things that I would change would be... I would take out Vela the Nightclad and Phage the Untouchable. And the reason for these is you don't necessarily make tokens. You do bounce creatures, but you don't make tokens unless you like ultimate Sorin. So it's each opponent loses one life isn't really relevant. And you're trying to win off of planeswalker control, not damage.
Go ahead. Your second comment?
My second one is Phage the Untouchable.
Okay.
As much as I love that card, you can't give it to someone else.
Well, apparently, according to Talab, Fractured Identity plus Phage is the best part of the deck.
Okay.
When you can play those two things for free and everybody else gets a copy of your Phage that did not come from them casting it, it seems like it's kind of fun.
Yes. Okay. I agree now. All right. Okay. So I agree with 98 cards. And I would rather have OG Ugin simply because he's another board wipe.
I can understand that. I really like the colorless Ugin here. I think there's enough
colorless
effects that... Well, this Ugin... Sorry, how about that?
Yeah.
Because there's enough colored spells or colorless spells, I think that it kind of helps a reasonable amount. Maybe not like insanely. But then again, the ability to, like you said, draw a card without drawing it.
Yeah.
Like, especially if you combine it with a, you know, like an Alter the Brood or something.
All right. It's so, I guess the only two things that I would change would be I would change Ugin to the OG, and I would change Vela to Arena Raptor. So that way you can go get one of these Planeswalkers when it's absolutely necessary and if you need it in a pinch. Because, like, your Arena Raptor dies. And now you get OG Ugin, and now they no longer have a board state. And when I say they, I mean all of your opponents.
Yeah, assuming that, you know, they are mostly colored permanents.
Yeah.
I don't know. Again, I always have a hard time looking through all these things and thinking about stuff, but is the... I suppose Temporal Mastery also has the Miracle Cost, so which makes it good. I don't know. I just feel like if you're going to put one of these Time Walkie spells in and you're going to cast it for free, you should just put in the one that shuffles back into your deck. I don't know. But otherwise, it seems good. Everything else seems pretty much like you would expect it to be. I probably put something in to be able to attack at a slightly different angle. Just kind of out of nowhere. Like
he has Phage.
He does have a Phage. The Phage
combo is
really good. But I mean something like...
nope, we already discussed like his other win condition.
A Dawn of Hope or a Megasus. What's the Pegasus thing? Pegasus Mesa or Mesa Pegasus?
Yeah, Mesa Pegasus.
Yeah, something like that. Something that you can tutor up with this reactor to, like, go to town if you need to,
mm-hmm.
in an alternate way. Because if somebody like hits a couple of these things really carefully, I think it could be problematic. I don't know. But again, I don't play Commander, so it's hard for me to get a judge. That's why I have Travis. Vela, Alter the Brood, Amatu, Guardian, Oath, Teferi is infinite. Yeah, see, this is where me, anything that's like this many card combos, I'm just like,
Hold on. Give me that list again. Vela.
Alter the Brood. Amatu. Anamatu, whatever you how you say it.
Yeah.
Guardian, so Flicker.
Guardian.
Slash Oath of Teferi is infinite. So the Guardian flickers her. She does something to
trigger. The Guardian flickers her. She can flicker Oath of Teferi. When Oath enters, exile another permanent you control. Return it to the battlefield at the end of next end step. Or you may activate loyalty abilities of planeswalkers you control twice each turn.
Well, that's what I assume it would be. Is so Guardian or Oath of Teferi? Yeah, she flicks the Guardian. And the Guardian flicks her back, and then those two guys coming into play, the Alter the Brood flicks. Okay.
Okay.
So or Alter the Brood, plus the Planeswalker and Guardian or Oath of Teferi.
Yep. Okay.
Does Oath of Teferi, it doesn't come back until later, right?
Ignore the first, well, yeah, it comes up back at the beginning of next end step, but you may activate the loyalty abilities of Planeswalkers you control twice each turn rather than once.
Right. There's a lot of those. Do thing like flick, make things happen.
All right, so now Vela is acceptable. I just really want to find a spot in here for Arena Rector so you can like go get your combo piece or your board wipe or the thing that's going to win you the game. Like even if it's Ashiok that wins you the game.
Yeah. So the card in here, other than the time, the temporal mastery that I'm kind of soft on, is probably the Oath of Jace. Again, it makes sense and it seems okay and it lets you scry for days. But there's a possibility that that's where you want to put your go get your walker thing. Although that's basically what you're doing. You're basically getting whatever you need from the top. Because you have 16 gosh darn planeswalkers in here.
Yeah. I don't know if man, he's solid.
Well, this is what he does. He plays commander.
It's good. I enjoy it.
Okay. All right. I don't know. The only other thing that would kind of make sense to me would be Fabulous Jace, especially with like the Oath of Teferi. Because, and hear me out. Once you get going, because it's only like 5 to trigger off, right? Isn't that coming to play with like 4 or something or 3?
Dude, I just
pay twice and then go to town.
Oh, you know what's great? If he has Bolas's Citadel and he casts Approach of the Second Sun, you just take down all that life again, then cast it again.
Correct. That is the idea.
Oh, that's so good. Look at that. He's got like 4 ways to win.
How many ways do you need to win a game of Commander? This is the reason.
You only need one.
That's the reason why the games take like 12,000 hours. Anyway, Talab says in the chat, I agree. I do want to make a spot for the Arena Reactor, and it may just have to be a land.
See, I was thinking a land or... I don't want to, but Rest in Peace. Because you have Ashiok, and if you have Arena Reactor, then you have a way to get her. Or it. And although I guess with Academy Rector, you have a way to get Rest in Peace. Maybe Archaeomancer?
No. Rest in Peace is a meta choice. Yeah, that was the other thing.
Okay.
I don't know. Good questions. Solid deck. I'll be sure to get that up on the website for those of you who'd like to take a chance to read it a little bit more detailedly. And I think that's basically the show, Travis. I know you got to hit the gym. I need to rest my pipes for a little bit before we start our bi-monthly. Is that right? Twice a month. Pen and paper game here on the Twitch page. So with that, I just got to say, please hit samusgrobo.com for the show notes and the deck list, as well as the troll hottie of the show, really, not week, because we can't seem to get a weekly show together anymore.
I blame that on you exclusively.
I take 90% of the blame. It is really hard to get back in the habit when somebody doesn't have a schedule like Travis. You can send us an email, twotrollsbrew@gmail.com. I will even check them sometime this week, maybe.
And of course, I have a schedule.
You've told me you will send me a copy of your schedule. Every once in a while, out of the blue, randomly, I will get, hey, I don't work today. Usually a couple days in advance. Hey, I don't work on Thursday this week.
Yeah.
If I'm lucky.
That's a schedule. It's not like it wasn't like my last job where I can actually set my own time. Like this one is actually, you know, like, oh, you got to work, whatever. I'm like, oh, shut up. You're stupid. I mean, we could always do it Sundays after I get done from Legacy.
The problem with Sundays is that's when I have my weekly game.
Oh.
Yeah.
Quit.
Well, that seems bad.
Oh, well, then I got nothing.
Sunday nights then. I don't know. We'll have to see. Anyway, twitch.tv/SamusGrobo. I'd really appreciate it if you guys would jump over there, give that a follow, or in some way, shape, or form, check it out. Again, I'm not streaming a lot of Magic right now, but if I see people coming in telling me, hey, please stream more Magic, we can do that.
Do people want to see me stream Magic?
I don't know. If people want to see Travis stream Magic, let me know. If so, we could have you stream on SamusGrobo sometimes.
I'll stream on my own website.
Oh, stream on your own website. Nobody wants to know.
You could host me.
I can host you.
Yep.
Oh man, what happens if you're more popular than me? I'd have to go to you and beat you up.
What do you mean if?
If.
Look, I have a more lovable personality, and you know that.
I'm pretty sure that's not how that works.
I'm pretty sure it is.
I'm pretty sure it's just a matter that
I'm more entertaining.
You wear have tattoos.
I'm funnier.
I think we're basically the same person except for that.
I have a better beard.
That is true. I need to decide what I want to do. Do I need to grow my beard out or do I want to cut it down? I can't decide. Like, or at least just hybrid thing. It gets this long and I just like, get it off of me.
Or just at least just clean it up.
Like I said, I need to do something. I almost just want to shave it all back down. Get a respectable goatee again. But then it'll get like this and I'll be like, oh, well, maybe I'll grow it long. And then it starts to bother me. I'm like, get off my face. I can't decide. Anyway, you're still not tweeting anymore, right?
Right.
Tweeter's still got? All right. Never mind. You can hit, I guess, the show Twitter, which is mine, which is Samus Grobo, again, if you'd like. The only other thing I want to throw out there is if you have been wanting to support the show and you haven't known how, Patreon/Samus is now working, patreon.com/Samus. And if you go support over there, I don't have a lot of thank yous yet, but as that grows, it'll help motivate me to get more shows out, especially if I know that you're a Magic player supporting the stream. So appreciate all that stuff.
And if you'd like to send me money, I have, just go ahead and do it. You figure out how.
Just figure out
how to get a hold of him, and he'll then just start complaining about it in the chat. That you want to give me money.
There you go.
I'm not going to do anything for you, but, you know.
I guarantee you that if someone sent you money, we'd figure out a way to get it to you.
You hear that, guys and gals? Send me money.
Send Travis money.
No benefit to you. Just give me stuff.
Well, so
it'll go to my favorite charity.
Here's the thing, and maybe this could be a secret perk. I see a lot of these web streamers out there. They have this thing where if you're a subscriber, you get their Instagram.
Oh, right.
So, what if you were to give people your Instagram for subscribing?
So they could never see me post on there either?
Never post anything ever. But they would have it.
They could always go see the pictures that I like, which is basically just nature and tattoos. So,
no wrestling?
No.
You should start putting random like wrestling pictures up on your there. It's like out of the blue. Like, I don't know who this person is, but look at this.
You see that? They almost did a backflip. I say almost because they landed on their face.
Oh, almost did a complete circle, but it landed on this guy instead.
Exactly.
Oh man. All right, everybody. With that, I hope you have a great one. I'm not making any promises about the next show, but boom.
Troll on, everybody.
Troll on, everybody.